This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
King David, in one of his Psalms, writes, "It was his desire to live in God's presence." And I'm sure that's a desire for all of us. But how is it done? We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help us to understand, Heavenly Father, that you are so personal, that you are anxious to have us live in your very presence every hour of the day. Help us to understand how that can be a possibility, and how your influence can be felt far beyond any formal worship service, right into the nitty-gritty of every day with all of its problems. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, have you ever lived for a week in the presence of a person you admired and who had made a tremendous impact on your life? I have. When I was in the active pastorate, I used to see to it that I got away at least a couple of times a year and listened to some of America's greatest preachers. Most of the time, I came back filled with joy and enthusiasm and a message that could ring in our own churches. And so they were people who had impacted me. Sometimes when it had gone for a while and my preaching must have shown it, I had a friend or two who said, "Don't you think it's about time that you get away on another one of those preaching conferences?" Human beings can have great impacts for the good on our lives when we stand in the midst of the masters. Today, I'd like to take that to another level. And I'd like to talk about not living in the presence of some great people, talented and all the rest, but how do you live in the presence of God? Is it possible that I live with him in such a way that he is always with me, that he impresses me, and that he lifts me up, and he directs me, and he gives me courage? King David's desire was, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the presence of the Lord and seek him in his temple." That is our text for today. It is from the 27th Psalm. And I'm especially spending time on verse 4, for that is all the time that we have. What David is praying for is that I may sense his presence with me at all times, and that I may look into his face. And as I look into his face, I may understand what kind of a God I really and truly have. Where do I find that? He asks the question. Well, I long to go into the temple of the Lord. And so on the day when it was proper for the Jewish people to worship, he went into the temple, and there he sat. And there he could sense the presence of the Lord with him. He was in contact with him, together with those who were the believers, Israel, the children of God. But he needed more than that. While he needed to have a good worship service, and that was extremely important, he needed to have people who would come and communicate to him what God was saying in his particular case. And so he needed a faithful pastor like Nathan, who, when he had fallen in sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, would come to him and say, David, this which you did was a sin. Look what you have done. And then Nathan, in the presence of God, would be brought to this conviction, I have sinned against the Lord. And then Nathan right away would say, look, David, it was an awful thing that you did. But I can tell you this, that since you have repented of your sins, the Lord has sent me to tell you that your sin is forgiven. How David grew spiritually. He grew spiritually through this experience. He found in the presence of the living God, he could be secure no matter what was happening. He was in the midst of a war when he wrote this psalm. And some of the enemies that he was fighting were his own people, his own family, in fact. But he could turn to God in that hour of despair and say, God, what? And God would say, I'm with you. I will not forsake you. I will keep you. You are mine. Be faithful. When sometimes he felt that everybody had forsaken him, including his father and his mother, he got the message from God. The message was, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will receive me. In other words, God had become such a part of his life as he lived in God's presence. He was a person who could walk victoriously through life to the end. Now, what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time today is talk about what it means for you and me to live in God's presence. And you can ask the question, is this possible? And it is possible. We can be right in the midst of what our Father wants us to do. Where do we go for this? We go, for example, like David, to a good worship service. We're on a Sunday morning. We don't sleep in, but we get up and gather with the saints, those who are believers in Christ Jesus, and sing the great hymns and hear the great anthems of the church and hear the message that comes from God's holy word. There is nothing that can take the place of a dynamic, gospel-centered worship service. But that's not enough. That would mean that you got one shot of this, if we can use that vulgarity, and then it had to go for another week, and that's all that people live with, is just a little bit on Sunday morning. It is not enough. So I have to have a private time. When I go aside from everyone, and open my Bible, and I listen to what God has to say to me on this particular occasion. And then I can lift my voice in prayer and make my requests known to him, but it is primarily what he is saying to me. He's feeding my soul. And out of that comes my prayer life. And that still perhaps is not enough. So I need to get together where we can discuss this marvelous revelation that God has given to us in his word. and good Bible studies, where we have teachers who understand well and will not lead us astray because of their own ignorance, but lead us into the depths of what God has revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. It is in these ways, and there may be more, but I take these ways, worship, devotions, Bible studies, that you can learn what it is to live in the presence of God. So, what will we find? There we will get acquainted with our God, the God who has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. For example, let's say that there is a particular time when your scripture reading is found in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And there the men and women had brought a woman who had fallen into the act of adultery. They had caught her. She was as guilty as could be. And they said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, we found her right in the very act. And the law of Moses says that you can stone her to death. What shall we do?" And Jesus turned and said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And then he knelt down and began to write on the sand. And when he rose, he looked around, and there was nobody but the woman standing there. And he said, "Well, where are your accusers?" And she said, "They've gone." "Did no one accuse you?" And she said, "No one, sir." And then Jesus uttered these words, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Can't you see that woman looking into his face? And this is God. He is a God of grace. He is a God that removes our sins so far from us. He is a God who did not say, "Straighten out your life, and then maybe I can come back and forgive you." He is a God of grace, living in his presence. And so you and I can learn from that, that as we live in his presence with this great example from Scripture, we can know that no matter what our sin might have been, we are forgiven. And as he has forgiven us, so we also need to forgive one another. Here's another one. I have several of them. If you turn to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 35 and 36, it says that he had compassion on them. He looked around at the masses of people who were surrounding him, and he would say, "They look like sheep without a shepherd." And he was the one who could shepherd them. He could put order into their lives. When you look around at large crowds of people today, can't that thought run through your head? How concerned our Heavenly Father is about the crowd. Look at the masses of people who walk into our athletic fields, baseball, football, basketball, whatever it might be. And they're enjoying themselves, and it's a great experience to be there. But my mind cannot but wonder, where do they stand in relationship to God? And then we have that passage that I've referred to in the 9th chapter of Matthew, where when Jesus looked at the crowd, he had compassion on them. What was his attitude to this mass of people? It was one of compassion. They knew not where they were going, some of them. Oh, they knew they were going home from the football or the basketball game, sure. They knew what they were going to do in their business tomorrow, next week, or whatever it might be, earn some more money, sure. And all those things are worthwhile, but they really in their life, because they did not know Jesus Christ, did not have a shepherd. Beyond this life, they had nothing. And Jesus says, as you live in God's presence and you look into my face, then you know well that I'm a God who is not anxious to get them, but a God who has real compassion for this world. And he wants my church, his church, to have that too. And he wants me to have it. So my compassion towards the crowd ought to be one where, let me reach out in whatever way I can to help if at least one person in that crowd to know Jesus and the glory of his love. Here's another one. If in your Bible study with a group of people, you read Matthew 23:37, and you see Jesus on the mountain, what is it that he cries out? O Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how I would love to have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And you look into the face of Jesus when he says those words, and there is disappointment. For here he had offered them the gracious forgiveness of all their sins. There he had said, I will guide you, I'll direct you, I'll lift you up. And they turned their back on him and wanted to make no personal commitment to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. How true that is today. How the millions of people who have heard that gospel simply turned their back and they went away. But what does this do to us as we live in the presence of God? We learn that we've got a Savior who is filled with grace and compassion, but one who is also from time to time very disappointed. And he's disappointed with my life and maybe with yours. But what does he do? I want to gather you under my arms. Like a hen gathers her chicks. I don't want to cast you aside. I want you to come to me. And I will give you rest. And I will give you peace. And if you turn to Mark, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, you hear something or see something just a little bit different. They brought a person to him who needed healing. And it was a Sabbath day. And now they were wondering, what will he do? Here is a person who needs his help. Will he heal on the Sabbath? And in the crowd, there was that ugly group of people judging others. And it says that he looked around in anger, and he was deeply depressed at their stubborn hearts. Yes, Jesus Christ could get very, very angry. When you get angry at something that's unrighteous, don't think you're sinning. For the Lord Jesus Christ got angry too. And that was that day. And so I get another picture of Jesus. I got a Savior who is compassionate. I have a Savior who is a God of grace, but I have a Savior who can be disappointed and can become angry. That's what it is to live in God's holy presence, to have a full picture of God Almighty as far as human beings can have a full picture. Let's take another one. They were up on the mountain, and Jesus was about to ascend into heaven. And he turned to them and he said, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. There will be some very, very difficult days for you. But you do not go this alone in bearing witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I soon learn that I have a Savior who will empower me. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the Reformation. And in my sermon that day to the radio audience, I said, you know, when Luther was given a day to take a look at what was going to happen, as if he said to Emperor Charles V, yes, these are my writings, and I'm not going to recant anything, he might be killed. But there Luther could go to a passage of Scripture. for he had listened to the Lord speaking to him in one of his quiet times or one of the Bible studies that he had been in or at a worship service. Luther, you be faithful, and you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And so that man went out and stood in front of princes and emperor and the leaders of the church, and he said, unless I can be shown by Scripture and pure reason that I'm wrong, I will not and I cannot recant. Where did that come from? It came from living in God's presence. And my friend, sometimes we wonder if whether we have enough power, enough strength. The answer is no, we do not have enough power. But into the presence of Jesus Christ we can come, and in that presence, he says to us, with a determined look on his face, I give you the power. Well, these are just a few little thoughts that you get as you go through the Scriptures, and you realize what a Savior you really have. So, friend, in the introduction, I said people sometimes impress us, but as the day goes by and we are farther from when we were with them, we maybe lose some of their influence. And that can happen with our Lord Jesus Christ, too. If we walk farther and farther away from him, it's not that we've left him, but we're not in his daily presence. So it takes more than just opening the Bible once in a while. It takes more than just an occasional worship service. It takes a consistent presence of God in our lives to fill our hearts and our souls with what is needed for us to be true witnesses of his and people with a dynamic faith. No matter what happens, he will be with us, he will comfort us, strengthen and forgive us. Amen.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No. Jesus.
Father, in this Thanksgiving week, we pray that our hearts may be grateful for all the material gifts that you have given to us, for our nation in spite of all of its unworthiness. We pray your blessings upon us as a country. Forgive us our many sins. Empower the President of the United States, the Congress, and all of those in authority over us, that may they realize that living in God's presence is really the answer for them too. But above all, we thank you that no matter where we are, you are so personal that you are anxious to come in and direct us as once you did David and the prophets of old, and where you will also direct us to this day, right to the throne of grace, where life makes sense. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to offer our thanksgiving to God in this coming week, we pray you have been strengthened in your faith walk by today's program, and you'll experience safe travel as you journey to be with friends and loved ones. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. We thank each of our listeners who have remembered Christian Crusaders with their gifts and their prayers. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you may call 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.